Good morning, brethren. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 23. Luke 23. Our Lord here has been delivered to the cross, or He has delivered Himself to the cross, we should say. And there's two thieves crucified on each side of Him. And in verse 35, the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others. Let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked Him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Brethren, the Lord saved this thief on the cross. Some people want to argue whether or not that's true, but it's true. The Lord saved that thief that day. The Lord promised him, Verily I say unto thee, the Word gave His Word and promised this man, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He promised him he'd be with him in glory. He'd be with him in heaven that day. The Lord saved him that day. And that's important because in this one sinner, we see how our Lord saves every sinner. We see how He saves every sinner. We learn so much from this man. I'm so thankful for this thief that the Lord saved. Because we learn so much from this man and how he was saved. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, this is how the Lord saves. This is how the Lord saved. For the sinner who's just being drawn by Christ, or for a believer who's already been called to Christ, or for one that's been many years in the faith, anytime the Lord draws us and he brings us into a place where, like we saw Thursday night, where he touches your thigh and brings you to see your need. This is what he's teaching. The things we see right here, this is what he's teaching. He keeps teaching us this over and over and over. This is what we need. This is what we need. I just want to look at three things. I want to first look at the condition of this man. This man was only a sinner. Nothing more. That's all this man was a sinner. This man was a condemned criminal hanged up on a cross because he's being executed. He was somebody who a society full of sinners judged him not worthy to live among them. That's how bad this man was. Sinners deemed him not worthy to live. But even more serious than that, in himself, this man was guilty before God. If he'd been found before God in judgment the way they hung him up on that cross, this man would have been guilty. He had broken the whole law of God. He's hung there for being a thief and probably for murder. They usually didn't put a thief on the cross. It's probably something worse than just being a thief, but it wasn't just one law he had broken, and it wasn't just outwardly. He had broken every law of God. We all broke every law of God in Adam. Every one of us did. We broke every law of God in Adam. And we became guilty. Guilty before God. Guilty before God. God's not just looking on the outward. He's looking on the heart. And He says that you and me come into this world totally, thoroughly guilty due to Adam's one transgression. And we have a multitude of sins in us. We break the law from we come from the womb speaking lies, Scripture said. Guilty of the whole law of God. The very best righteousness, the very best righteousness of the very best of men is still, it comes short of the glory of God. It comes short of the righteousness that God requires. This is what the Lord has to show us. He has to teach us this about ourselves and make it so very bad to us that we see we need Christ. I mean, this man was in a very, very bad condition, and this is the condition we're all in. We're not just talking about the very worst deeds. Yes, this man was a thief. Yes, this man was, he was a bad man. But the very best righteousness of the very best of men falls short of the righteousness God demands. The Scripture says there's no difference. No difference in me, no difference in you, no difference in anybody on this earth. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Now, can you see and can you confess that there is absolutely no difference in you than this thief on the cross? Do you see that about yourself? No difference in you than this thief on the cross. This thief and those that were reviling our Lord, those that were saying those horrible things to our Savior, there's no difference in any of them and me and you. In our flesh, no difference. Do we see that? Do we know that? The Spirit of God gave this thief a new heart. How do you know that? Because he confessed he was a sinner. And that's the only way a sinner will confess he's a sinner. He justified God and he confessed he was only a sinner. The only way anybody will do that is if the Spirit of God gives us a heart and teaches us what we are. Look at verse 40. He rebuked the other thief, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, we're in the same condemnation. We're in the very same condemnation. And we're receiving the just due. The just reward for our sins, for our deeds. The due reward for our sin is death. And it's not just death, physical death. It is the justice of God, the condemnation of God. Is that what you justly do? Do you feel that way? Do you know that you're justly due condemnation? Can you justify God and say that that's your just reward for your deeds? Are you the sinner and only the sinner and nothing but a sinner? Sometimes I think that we talk about sin and people just think that's a doctrine. And to natural religious man, it is just a doctrine. But it's got to be more than a doctrine if we're going to believe God. It's got to be what we are. We got to be made to see we are the depraved one. We are the sinner. But here's the good news of the gospel. Not only is everybody that comes into this world, every child of Adam a sinner, every one that God saves, and everyone He elected to save from before the foundation of the world is nothing but a sinner. That's good news. Everyone the Lord elected to save from before the foundation of the world is nothing but a sinner. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And look at verse 17. They saw our Lord eating with publicans and sinners. And they asked, why does He eat with publicans and sinners? And it says, Mark 2 and verse 17, when Jesus heard it, He said to them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came to call sinners to repentance. You see, that's good news. That's who He saves. So the first thing we see about this man is condemned. I mean, he's hanging on a cross in the process of dying, about to meet God, guilty before God. He's nothing but a sinner. That's all he is. Now, let me tell you something. From the moment God calls you to the day you draw your last breath in this earth, all we are in ourselves is the sinner. That's it. If we get above being the sinner, we're going to be in bad shape. We won't have a need anymore. We got to remember, in my flesh dwells no good thing. All right, secondly, this man was totally helpless. This man's helpless. His hands and his feet are nailed to a cross. He's helpless. Absolutely helpless. This man could not do even one of the things that false preachers tell sinners that they have to do to be saved. He couldn't do one of them. His hands and his feet are nailed to a cross. And that's true of every sinner God elected to save. It never ceases to be true of the sinner that God elected to save. We are totally helpless to contribute one work to salvation. That's what this simple phrase means. When Jonah learned this, salvation is of the Lord, he learned, you and me don't, we do not contribute to the work. Salvation is of the Lord. Now just look at this thief. Both his hands and his feet are nailed to a cross. He's helpless. He can't contribute. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to look at Matthew 7. Look at verse 21. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, this is what the Lord Jesus said. Matthew 7, verse 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, not every man's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He's saying the only way any sinner is going to enter into heaven is if he does the will of my Heavenly Father. That's the only way. And yet the Lord told this man, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now the Lord said in that Sermon on the Mount, the only way any man's going to enter into heaven is if he does the will of his Father in heaven. And then he tells this man, today you'll be with me in heaven. with his feet and his hands nailed to a cross, this man did the will of God the Father. He did the will of God the Father. Go to John 6. This is what he did. He had his hands and his feet nailed to a cross. This is what he did. He was helpless. He couldn't do anything else. Somebody might say, well, he didn't have any other choice. Well, that's what salvation is. It's the Lord bringing you to the place where you have no other choice. You know what heresies mean? There must needs be heresies, that they which are approved may be manifest. Heresies are choices. And as long as you have choices, you're going to make the wrong choice. So am I. God has to take our choices away and shut us up to Christ where we don't have any other alternative. And He gives you a willing heart. Here's the will of the Father. He said, no man will enter heaven but he that does the will of the Father. And He said, this man is going, He said, today you're going to heaven with me. He did the will of the Father. What is it? John 6:28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Look at verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the will of the Father. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of the Father. The thief on the cross, he didn't work to obtain righteousness. You and me can't work to obtain righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. We're saved by His mercy. By His mercy. This man believed unto righteousness. That's how you're made righteous. That's the only way. That's the will of the Father. The will of the Father, when He, in eternity, He chose His Son. He chose to glorify His Son. He chose to glorify His name, all His holy attributes, everything about Himself. He chose to manifest His righteousness, everything about Himself in His Son and save a people. And He chose, this was His will, I'll make my people righteous by bringing them to believe on my Son. His Son did all the work. Christ did all the work. He's hanging on that cross right there, justifying His people from all our sins, making us the righteousness of God in Him. He's fulfilling the law of God. He's declaring God just, paying the sin debt, and He's justifying His people. And He has to bring us to the place where we have our hands and our feet nailed to the cross, and all we do is believe on the Lord Jesus. That's the will of the Father. We believe unto righteousness. Now, I'm not discrediting good works. If this man had lived a long life, he would have done good works just like every one of us do by God's grace. All of God's people do good works. He would have. But, brethren, we're not saved by our works. We're seeing here how we're saved. We're saved by the work of the Lord Jesus, by His faithfulness, by His fidelity. It's by the righteousness of Christ. He cried out from the cross and said, it is finished. He fulfilled the law. He is the righteousness of God. We have to be brought to submit to Christ and believe Him. And see, that's the rub with sinners, because we want to think we're righteous and we can work out a righteousness. No, we can't. He's the righteousness of God. And through faith, God imputes His righteousness to us. Let me show you something else. In Hebrews 12, God says that without holiness, no man shall see God. Without holiness, no man will be able to enter into the kingdom of God and be accepted of God without holiness. He said, follow after peace with all men and holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we don't have holiness and we don't have peace, we're not going to enter into the kingdom of God and be accepted of God. And yet this man right here was told by our Lord Jesus, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now put those two together. The Lord said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man's going to enter the kingdom of God. And the Lord told this man, today thou shalt be with me in the kingdom of God. With his hands and his feet nailed to a cross, this man had the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. How's that possible? How's that possible? Because Christ is the holiness. He's the righteousness of his people, and he's the holiness of his people. Christ is. He is. When he called Apostle Paul and sent him to preach the gospel, he said, I'm calling you, I'm sending you to preach this gospel. And he said, and through this gospel, I'm going to sanctify them through faith that is in me. He gives a pure heart. He purges the heart. He gives a new spirit. Christ is formed in you, and he's the holiness of the new heart. That Paul said in Ephesians 4, there's a new man created in the righteousness and true holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his image, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the holiness. He said to Paul, and I'm going to deal with this in our second message, but he said to Paul, or Paul said to us in 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, and that word is holiness and redemption. Christ is the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We're sanctified by faith that's in Christ. That's why that next word in Hebrews 12:15 says, follow after holiness with all men, looking diligently. Doing what this man right here did, looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. Now, I'm not discrediting holiness. I'm not discrediting godliness. Follow after holiness. But don't ever forget, Christ is the sanctifier. He set us apart. He perfected his people forever by his one offering, them that are sanctified. It's by his will we're sanctified. And he is the holiness he sanctifies us into. We'll see that more the next hour. This man, not only this man had not been taught a great degree of doctrine. He heard the gospel and those things that were said that day. When they said he saved others, himself he cannot save, that's true. He's the substitute. He can't come down off the cross if he's going to save his people. He laid down his life willingly to save his people. He saw he is the king of the Jews. That's true. He's the king of true Jews. His true spiritual Israel. He's the king of every Jew circumcised in the heart from among Jew and Gentile. He's the king. He heard the gospel. But this man didn't have a great degree had been taught a great degree of doctrine. I'm not discrediting our need to be taught true doctrine. We need true knowledge. And had this man come down off the cross, I guarantee you this, this man, when he heard the doctrine, according to the scriptures, he would have believed. He would have said, amen. If you'd have preached to this man the doctrine that God the Father blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, if you would have preached the election of this man that salvation is by God's grace alone, choosing whom he will, this man would have said amen. If you'd have preached that it's the necessity we be born of the Holy Spirit of God and given faith, it's all the gift of God, the salvation A to Z is by the author and finisher of faith, he'd have said amen. How do you know that? I know it because he believed on the Lord. And this is what Christ said. He said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. What is his will? We saw what his will is. His will is that you believe on his Son. And when a man's brought to believe on Christ, He knows all things. When you know Christ is all, you know all. And then everything lines up. Christ is the light, and all doctrine gets its light from Christ. We won't understand anything until we're given an understanding, a knowledge of Christ, that He is salvation. Then we'll begin to see everything in this Scripture. Makes it all goes together. All the doctrine just fits together. And here's what I'm saying to you. Here's what I'm saying. As fatal as it is to reject true doctrine, it's just that fatal to make a certain degree of knowledge necessary for salvation. It's not your degree of knowledge that saves you. Christ is salvation. Christ is salvation. That's what I'm trying to show you here. It wasn't His works. Christ did the works. It wasn't His holiness. Christ is the holiness. It wasn't His knowledge. Christ is the wisdom. Yea, doubtless, Paul said, I count all things lost, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, be found in Him. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. This is what John said in 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true. And it's that we might know Him that is the truth. He is the truth. He is the gospel. He said, and we're in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It's Christ. This man believed on Christ. He cast all his care on Christ. Nothing else, no one else, Christ only. He said in verse 41 at the end, he said, this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He believed Christ had done nothing amiss. Christ is the sinless substitute of His people. He knew no sin. He had to be sinless. He willingly presented Himself, the spotless Lamb of God, and He made Him sin for us. He did that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But listen, He in Himself knew no sin. He knew no sin. He owned Christ as His Lord, as Messiah, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He believed Christ had a kingdom that's not of this world. He didn't believe Christ was dying that day. He believed He was coming into His kingdom, and He believed He was going to receive His people into His kingdom. That's why He believed on Him. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He just asked Him, remember me. Just please remember me. This man's a mercy beggar. Now here's my third point. The first thing I was trying to show you is this man's condition is he's guilty. He's a sinner. And then secondly, he's totally helpless. And it wasn't his works, it wasn't his holiness, it wasn't his degree of knowledge. This man had his hands and his feet nailed to a cross. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Christ Himself is salvation. He's salvation. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. And redemption, that is according as it's written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Christ declared to Nicodemus, sinners are saved by looking to Christ. He said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and all the Lord told them to do was look to that serpent. And he said, it's the same with him. He said, he's going to be lifted up on that cross, and whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Christ is salvation. Christ is salvation. Salvation never becomes more or less than Christ Himself. Is that too simple? We'll miss salvation. If it's anything else but Christ, we'll miss salvation. If we got to add something of ourselves, we're missing Christ. The only thing this thief had was Christ. But having Christ, he had all. And you have Christ, you have all. Every sinner saved by the grace of God is given exactly what this thief was given. The Lord gave him faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how every believer is saved. Every sinner God saves is given an understanding of just what this thief knew. He knew he was the sinner, helpless, incapable of contributing one thing to his salvation. That's what everybody God saved knows. Everybody knows that. I am the sinner. What you contribute to your salvation? I did the sinning. Didn't you contribute something? I did the sinning. That's it. And I know this, Christ did the saving. He's the Savior. Listen to Peter's confession. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was his confession. And the Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See, we don't even believe on our own. It's given to us of God. He said later, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." That's saying just what this thief said. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Here was Nathanael's confession. Nathanael said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Where's this big, long, systematic theology? You know Christ. You know all. Samaritan woman, she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Messiah? He's the salvation. The Ethiopian eunuch, he wanted to be baptized. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Thomas saw him and he said, "My Lord and my God." This thief was a dying man. And in just a few moments, he would leave this world and he would enter into glory. And the Lord saved him in those last few moments of his life. The last few moments of his life. You'll see sinners and you'll hear them say, "Well, it's too late for me." Or you'll hear somebody that has a loved one that's run wild all their life and they think it's too late for them. Wasn't too late for this thief on the cross. It's not too late for you either. Anybody here that hadn't believed on the Lord, today's the day of salvation. If you'll hear His voice today, harden not your heart. This man confessed he was a sinner, nothing else. That's it. This man declared Christ to be sinless. This man's done nothing amiss. This man's the righteousness of God. He's the holiness of God. This man exhibited faith. He really had faith more than any of the other apostles, if you think about it, because they all believed that the Lord was going to establish an earthly kingdom. This man knew it's not an earthly kingdom. And here's something else. Those others, when everybody turned thumbs down on Christ, they forsook Him. They took off. They got out of there. This man owned Him to be his Savior when everybody else had rejected Him. We just won't hardly stand with somebody when everybody rejects them. We like to go with the crowd. This man believed Christ when everybody rejected Him. He cast all his care on Christ. He confessed Christ to be the Lord of his kingdom, to be his Lord. And you know what happened? This man received an immediate answer from the Lord. And you come to Christ and you cast your care on him. Now let me, I said at the beginning, it doesn't matter if you just, he's just drawing you to him or if you've been in the faith for years and years. When he brought you some painful providence, and just like we saw Thursday, he's touched your thigh and he's made you to see you're helpless to save yourself. What's the purpose? It's to show you this same thing over again, that he alone is salvation. It's to renew in you, to make you know he alone is your salvation, to bring you to do just what this thief did. Confess, I'm the sinner. Lord, remember me. Save me. And when he brings you there, our Lord doesn't dilly-dally around and wait around to see if you can meet some requirement. When you come asking for mercy, he gives you a mercy immediately. When you ask forgiveness, he lets you know you're forgiven immediately. Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as some intermediate state. When you die, Paul said, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Christ is righteousness. That means he's life. He said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." That's what we learn here. He told Martha, he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? Here's Martha's confession. She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is come into the world." Do you believe that one who hung on that cross is the Son of God, the Christ who came into the world? He's salvation. He is salvation. And if you have him and you know him, you know all and you have all. And God has saved. You have everlasting life. That's what he said. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And somebody will hear this and they'll say, "Well, Clay's just, he's trying to dumb down the gospel and just make it simple." Let me tell you something. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you add a hair to this, other than Christ alone, you will not be saved. That's what I'm saying. Christ has got to be all. Christ alone. That's what I titled this. Christ alone. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you saved this thief, our brother. This one you love from everlasting, that you might show us, Lord, that with our hands and our feet entirely bound, salvation's in a look. Salvation is believing you and trusting you to do it all. Lord, would you give us that faith? Would you increase that faith in those that you've given it to? And Lord, don't let us ever, ever add anything to what you are and what you've accomplished. Help us, Lord, to trust you completely. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.